Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont. This is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear a conversation with Samantha Kolber, the new owner of Rootstock Publishing, the hybrid publisher in central Vermont. She's the company's former marketing director and poetry editor, and previously worked for Bear Pond Books in Montpelier, Goddard College in Plainfield, and Tupelo Press in North Adams, Massachusetts. Experienced in book publicity, editing, sales and marketing, customer relations, and publishing, as a poet, she has won a Human Relations Indie Book Award, a Ruth Stone Poetry Prize, and a Vermont Poetry Society Prize. When I spoke with Samantha earlier today, I began by asking her to talk about Rootstock. What is it, and how did she come to be involved originally? I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Well, Rootstock, I think it's a great local resource for lots of writers in the area, in the central Vermont area. It's a hybrid publisher, which means hybrid is kind of one of those new things now. It falls somewhere between traditional publishing and self-publishing. A lot of people call self-publishing indie or independent publishing now. And so we do all of the work as a traditional publisher would do. We get the ISBNs. We register the book with the Library of Congress. We have professional designers do the layout, the book cover design, the spines, the barcodes. We have professional editors and proofreaders. So we really put the book through the whole book production process and come out with a finely edited, finely designed book. And we publish it under our label, Rootstock Publishing, with our logos. And like I said, with our ISBNs. And we handle the metadata and the categories and the print and distribution for the author. So it's really nice for an author who would think of self-publishing but wouldn't know what to do, and we kind of do it all for them. There's a cost for the service of all these publishing services, but the author ends up getting a higher rate of net profits for their book. For their royalties are higher than a traditional publisher. I'm a poet, and I have a book out with a very small press, and I get 12% of book royalties as my author payouts. And what we offer authors are generally between 60 and 70% royalties. So, you know, it's a nice way. And also the author owns the copyright. They copyright it in their name. So the work is theirs. They don't have to worry about the publisher owning their work. They own their work, and the publisher, Rootstock, we do all the work just to get it out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wonderful. And, how does the word about a book get out? Like, do you guys do some marketing and publicity, or do the authors handle that themselves?
We do that, and we do it in partnership with the authors. So we'll put out a press release to the networks that we have, which, you know, since we're a central Vermont press and many of our authors are Vermont authors, we kind of have the Vermont market cornered, but we have a whole list of bookstores and libraries nationally and throughout New England that will get the word out to our books, to all those bookstores and libraries. We do have a national press list in addition to a New England press list. So we get out a press release about the book. We send out ARCs, otherwise known as advanced reader copies. So we send out ARCs of the book 4 to 6 months prior to the publication date. And we send those to reviewers, reporters, bookstores all around the country. So we start generating reviews, buzz. We work with Library Thing, which is a really great database where librarians are on it, and they review books and recommend books. So we get reviews through there. We'll have reviews coming in on Goodreads for a few months before the publication date. We do some social media pushes. We always do a fun cover reveal every time we have a new cover designed. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Rootstock Publishing.
So it sounds like you do a pretty nice amount of marketing and publicity. I think there's a lot of complaints from authors about presses that aren't doing anything.
Yeah. And my press was the same way. You know, like I said, it's a small poetry press, and they publish your book and that's it. But because I work in the field, I knew enough to do my own marketing, which was really great.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, we do that. We offer that marketing and publicity as a service. You know, it's a little on the smaller scale. You know, if you want to get your book reviewed in the New York Times, I'm certainly able to send the book that way. But because I don't have a personal connection there, it's less likely that one of our books will get picked up there. But you never know. I keep sending them and we keep hoping. But we will get books reviewed in outlets like Kirkus Reviews, Forward Reviews.
Okay. And then is that a piece that they would then pay for? Like the marketing of publicity is something that they choose to pay for, or they can choose to hire their own publicist?
Well, most of that is included. What I talked about, the press releases and the bookstore and library email blast are all included. Some of the review sites require payments, so that would be extra. But most of it is included in what we offer for our Rootstock publishing service fee.
Okay, great. Now, you became the owner of Rootstock recently, and you did so during National Women's Small Business Month. I was curious if that was an important aspect of this whole move.
I just thought it was really neat. You know, I never thought I would take the leap and be a business owner, even though it's always been in the back of my head, because I like the non-traditional make my own hours. I get to be my own boss. For a long time, I thought I wouldn't thrive not having a schedule. But then, you know, once COVID hit and with the pandemic, most people were forced to work at home, and it just became easier in my mind to balance all of my, you know, work life. I've got the dog at home. I've got my kids. You know, I can work anytime I want. If I want to answer emails at 9 o'clock at night, I can do that. I know it's not like the life balance most people talk about when they talk about work and home. But at the same time, if it means I can take my dog to the park for an hour in the daytime and then just, you know, do some of that other work later, then that works for me. So when Steven said he was ready to sell the business and retire, I initially said no. He approached me about it. I'd been working for him for 3 years. And I said, no, I don't think I should be the owner of something. It just seems like too much responsibility, something, you know, too much work or, you know, too much responsibility. But the more that I thought about it and the more that I realized I was kind of doing a lot of the day-to-day operational work of the business, especially as Stephen was really getting ready to retire, I was like, you know, I'm kind of already doing it. All I need to do is kind of make it official. I got my, you know, my employer identification number, opened up an LLC with the state, made it a little official, talked to my accountant, and now I'm a business owner.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, you mentioned Stephen MacArthur, and his founding co-publisher was Ricky Gard Diamond. Are they still going to be involved at all?
Oh, yeah, they're very much involved. They're Ricky is still editing for us, which is great because she's a wonderful editor and resource. And Stephen's staying on as a consultant for me as I navigate the ropes of some newer aspects of it. He's helping with my author contracts, and he's helping with, you know, some of the back end stuff. But yeah, and, you know, he's there anytime I need to call him and consult with him about anything. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. What is your background, Samantha?
So I'm a writer and a lover of books and literature. I did my MFA in writing at Goddard College in 2014. And I'm a poet by nature. I kind of feel like I was born a poet. But while I was in grad school, I started writing longer things, and I decided I wanted to write a novel. And so I switched to fiction. And I do have my thesis novel. It's been out there. I've shopped it around a little bit with some agents and small publishers. And it's out with one small publisher now that I'm hoping it might get picked up. But the agent querying and the process to find a traditional publisher is very intense and can take years, and it's hard. And I don't really have that kind of dedication. You know, they say to query a book, you might want to send it to about 200 agents before you find your agent. And then when you have an agent, you still have to find a publisher.
Right.
You know, I get to about 50 queries and I'm done because it's a lot of work for me. Each query I do is very, you know, I'm pouring my heart into just a query letter, you know, and not only that, you poured your heart into this book and you feel like I'm done. I just want it out there. So it's a hard and a long road to do that. And so that's why I've started to fall in love with the hybrid model, because it's a way that, you know, you might not have years and hours to pour into finding your agent after, you know, 200 query letters. And so the hybrid publishing offers a model to publish that is a little quicker, a little more streamlined. There's not, you hear the words gatekeeping out there when it comes to agents and publishing. And yet I always think back to when I was in grad school and my advisor told me it takes about 7 years to publish a book. And what she meant by that is from the moment you start writing it to the moment you have a book in your hands, it's about 7 years. And I always thought that was, you know, a little bit hyperbolic of her to say, but after being in the business, I realized, oh, that's true. You know, here I am. I finished my novel in 2014. I only queried 50 agents, but still it's not published. It's been more than 7 years. And I see how that's true. Even with authors that we get at Rootstock, they'll say, I've been working on this for 5-6 years. Now it's finally done. And then by the time they come to us, we take about 9 to 12 months before it'll be published after an author signs with us. So there's still all that time left for the editing and the design and the layout and all that stuff. So
Do you turn down some authors?
We do. We frequently get books that we don't feel are ready or that we don't feel meets our criteria. We have high standards because, like I said, I'm also a writer. But I'm a reader and I read all genres. So I have to love the book to want to publish the book. So I do end up turning away books that I might not love or books that aren't ready. They might still need more developmental editing or a lot of revisions. Yeah. So we'll suggest that the author, you know, can do some work and resubmit to us.
Yeah. Okay, great. Let's see. How many employees does Rootstock have and who does what?
So we currently scaled down to like a one person show with vendors that we hire out to do the work of editing and design and proofreading. And the administrative stuff, even I'm handling right now. But you know, we have our website is an e-commerce site and it's a Squarespace and it's easy to run. I'm doing our social media, I'm doing our acquisitions, and all the professional editing, proofreading, design goes out to our contracted vendors, and they're on our we call them creative partners. We have a creative partner list on our website, so we do have a core team of creative partners that we use. We have Eddie Vincent; he runs a graphic design business out of Maine, and then Stephen MacArthur and Ricky Gard Diamond are both involved. Like I said, Ricky's one of our editors.
How do authors come to you, and what steps do you take to decide, you know, what each author needs from Rootstock, from the various things that you provide?
Yeah. So authors come to us by all different ways. Mostly it's word of mouth at this point. Some authors come to us because they have a friend who's an author who already published with us. Other authors see us, you know, we recently had the article in the Times Argus, which was nice about me being the new owner. So a few authors reached out with manuscripts after reading that. So I thank Peter Cobb for that wonderful article. It was really great. We are also on the platform called Submittable, which is where writers go to find places to publish their work. And we have had many authors come to us through there. And those are fun because they're from all over the globe. We had a writer in Greece send us their manuscript. Ultimately, we passed on it, but I just think it's neat to see where the manuscripts are coming from. And that's primarily our portal for submissions is on Submittable. But many people email me and ask about it, and then I'll say that they can send me a manuscript. I recently had a snail mail letter arrive from a local writer who said he was interested in learning more about publishing with us, and he has a collection of essays, and he said he didn't know where to start, so he wrote me a letter, and I thought, oh, how quaint. know, we don't normally get letters, you know. In the old days, you know, I know people talk about printing off their manuscripts and mailing it to, you know, all the like 20 publishing houses, and you'd have 20 copies of your manuscripts and these big envelopes going out in the mail, but everything's on email and
everything's online, changed.
Yeah, online submission portals. And
How many books might you publish in the, let's say, in 2023? How many do you think you'll be?
So right now I have 12 scheduled, which is a book a month, which is the path that Rootstock has been following for the past few years that I've been working. But I'm hoping to do more, and I'm hoping to double that to 2 books a month. Mm. So I'm currently assessing a few manuscripts right now. And if anybody has a manuscript, they're welcome to send it to me. They can look us up on the website, rootstockpublishing.com. But really, you know, I've been working for Rootstock for the past few years on a part-time basis. And now that I'm full-time and I'm really devoting everything I have to it, I feel like I'll be able to publish more books. And one a month has been great, but I've also recently met more editors and more people to partner with. So we have the capacity to do more than one book a month. So I'm excited and hoping to find some good books.
Well, that's great. Are they mostly Vermonters, your authors? Or I know you said you get submissions from all over, but...
They are mostly Vermonters. I would say we're probably at the 90% of our authors are Vermonters. But we have a book coming out in April by an author in Massachusetts. I think she's... forgetting the name of the town. Is she near the Berkshires? I mean, I guess it's close enough to Vermont. You know, we have a few New Hampshire authors on our list. I'm trying to think of next year. I think next year is mostly Vermont, except for our Massachusetts author.
So any new manuscripts that come to you now would perhaps be slated, if you accept them, for 24, or you're still thinking of filling in 23?
It depends on where it's at. I mean, obviously the first half of 2023 would be out. So it would be the second half. But if a book comes across my desk right now and it's in fine shape and maybe it's already been through a few editors and it might only just need a copy edit and a proofread, I'm sure we can get that out at the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we would be looking at 2024. It's amazing to think how long it takes, but it really does. You know, you can edit a book a million times, you know, and still find something worth fixing before going to print.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to do a good job. I mean, that's what your authors really should want.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are a few titles that are coming out in the near future?
Well, I'll talk about our local Vermont authors. We have Rick Winston coming out with a memoir. It's called Save Me a Seat, A Life with the Movies. We're getting ready to go to layout with that one. But
that's a great title, Save Me a Seat. I like that.
It's adorable. And there's the picture on the cover shows the inside of the Savoy Theater from Montpelier, Vermont. I don't know if your audience will know this, but Rick Winston was the founder of the Savoy Theater. And so it's quite a lovely memoir about his life growing up and learning to love the movies just through how he was raised, and then, you know, founding this film hub, this culture of film and art and community in Montpelier. And it's just lovely. People who love the Savoy will definitely love this book. Cool. So that's an exciting title coming out. We have another memoir by another Central Vermont figure, Rob Merman. He's one of the founders of Circus Smirkus, which is a beloved kid circus that I've been going to for at least 20 years, and I just love it. And so his memoir is about his early years growing up. When he was young, he actually ran away to the circus.
Oh, wow.
and it's about his time in Europe. He studied with... I'm going to get the French clown's name wrong. Marcel Marceau.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel Marceau. Yes. He studied with that famous clown. And so he has a lot of nice tidbits in this memoir. And that's probably for the end of 2023, because that's just in the beginning editing stages.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Wonderful. Now, I always ask my guests what they are reading lately that they would recommend to listeners. Now, I'm not sure you have time to read anything outside of your work, do you?
You'd be surprised. I don't know how I do it, but I'm constantly reading, and I'm reading, not only am I reading manuscripts that aren't published yet, but I'm reading books that I'm proofreading before they go to print. And then I read books for fun because I have to. So I just finished an amazing novel. It's called Sam, which is funny because that's my name. and it's by Allegra Goodman.
Okay.
And it comes out in January. I still get access to some ARCs because for many years I was working at Bear Pond Books.
Oh, yeah.
So I miss being on the bookseller side and doing events and all that I did with Bear Pond. But they're still my Bear Pond family. And love Bear Pond Books. And so I still have some advanced reader copies that I get to sink my teeth into. But this novel is amazing because it's about this girl, her name is Sam, and it's a coming of age novel, right? And so when we first open with her, she's only 7. And the novel follows her through adulthood until she's about 19. And the voice grows with her. So it starts out in like a 7-year-old voice and goes all the way to the 19-year-old voice. And I mean, I feel like I could read this book about 12 times to study how she does this. The author, there was a note in the book from the author, and it said she thought of the character from one of her daughters. I think she had sons and they were easy. And then her daughter came along and was really difficult.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a great book. Thank you for the recommendation. Now, I do always like to finish by asking for advice for writers. And in your case, I thought I'd ask for advice for writers who are researching publishing options, hybrid or otherwise, just maybe a few things that they should keep in mind as they're looking for the right publisher for their book.
Yeah, that's a great question. I tell everybody to do their research. And I know that seems a little vague. So do your research as much as you can to look up each publisher, see if you can find authors from the publisher that you can talk to see if they've had a good experience. I mean, and I'm talking anywhere from a hybrid publisher like Rootstock up to a traditional publisher. I've worked for other publishers before, and some of them have some, you know, dark sides that you might not want to get involved in. So, and you hear lots of stories from authors who said, oh, I wish I would have known, or things like that. I'm happy to talk to anybody about any aspect of our publishing. And the thing about hybrid models is that, we're very transparent with what we do, what we charge, what we offer. A lot of companies won't talk about that part of it, the fees or the money or what they do or what they don't do. So if they don't talk about that openly, then that's never a good sign. And there are, of course, all of those publishing houses that are known as vanity presses. And those are the ones like, if you're going to self-publish on a vanity press, and they just take your money and put your book out and they won't do anything. They don't even really talk to you. There's no like relationship there. And at Rootstock, I mean, I call us the Rootstock family. Like, I really see it as we're partnering with the authors. We're bringing them into this, I call it our family, because that's just how I am. But, you get the personal touch with us, but we're also very transparent. And, so if there's a way that an author can do that kind of research and talk to other authors from the publisher, that's always what I recommend. Otherwise, even just Googling things, if you're not sure if a press is a vanity press or if it's legitimate, even just Google it and look up, bad reviews of so-and-so and see if any bad reviews come up, because you'd be surprised what you find.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Well, I want to just mention again, I've been speaking with Samantha Kolber, and she is the new owner of Rootstock Publishing in Montpelier, Vermont. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having me, Shayla.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV-LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. That was an interview with Vermont poet and publisher Samantha Kolber. You can learn more about her own work at samanthakolber.com and about Rootstock Publishing at rootstockpublishing.com. Samantha Kolber suggests the exercise of writing for 7 minutes without stopping. Put your pen to the page or your fingers to the keys and have at it for 7 minutes straight. Samantha loves this exercise and finds she comes up with great material by doing this. She often will come up with a draft of a poem that can be revised later. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and tune in next week for another prompt or suggestion. I would love your feedback about the show. Let me know if you have events to announce. If you like the show, please rate it where you get it. Like it on social media, talk about it. If you don't know how to get the show, you can find it on most podcasting sites and just subscribe and they will send it to you. Or you can stream it at 993wbtv.org. Be sure to tell your friends about Write the Book and about the podcast site, writethebook.podbean.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast sites. You can access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com as well. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. This is 99.3 FM WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont. Streaming online at 993wbtv.org. Stay well and have a great week.